This week's episode is sponsored by Spaces. Spaces is a new platform backed by 15 plus years of educator feedback designed to document the process and progress behind student learning in your classroom. Join the Spaces community to connect with educators across North America and gain access to free teacher-created resources, help educators who are just starting out on their journey, and learn new things from teachers who have been there before. So visit community.spacesedu.com today.
Is this the teacher hotline?
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Teacher Hotline. My name is Ronald Hay, where we try to answer some of the most pressing questions for teachers in and outside of the classroom. Today, we have Nick calling from the Halton area. Nick, what can we do for you today?
Hey, Ron. Currently, my daughter is in grade two. She's been attending a public school for the past few years. My wife and I have been doing some research, and we've been thinking about having our daughter homeschooled for personal reasons. We're still going through the pros and cons, but wondering what the implications would be for our daughter moving forward. My biggest fear is that it would stunt her ability to socialize. Would love to know if other parents put their kids through homeschooling and their thoughts on the matter. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Nick. Great question. Thank you so much for calling in. I will say I don't know too much about homeschooling, and I actually don't know anyone in my circle that has been homeschooled. But that doesn't mean that it doesn't happen. So today, I actually found the perfect guest for you. Today, I bring in Chauncey Child, co-founder of Owl Home Education Network. Chauncey has been a home educator for 25 years and has home educated six of her children. Chauncey and her business partner created Owl Home Education Network because they believe that the public education system does not fit the needs of all students and families and want to provide an alternative solution to families. Chauncey, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Chauncey, I have so many questions. Like I said, I don't know how any of this works. I did a quick Google search and, you know, I know you're from the States. You're from, remind us, where are you from again, actually?
Oregon,
that's right. So you're in the States, I'm in Canada. I'm sure all of this stuff works a little bit differently. But I know for certain that in Canada, we can do homeschooling. So I'm sure a lot of the common questions are the same. So the first question I have for you is, I noticed on your website, when I was doing a little bit of research, that you actually intentionally used the term home educate instead of homeschooling, which seems to be the more common terminology. And it seems to be a very intentional usage of that word. So why use home educate rather than homeschool?
Well, thank you for asking that, because there is a distinction and a differentiation if we want to. It's not just semantics, right? It really is something that we need to look at in terms of philosophy and methodology with education. So the way that kids learn. I make that differentiation because I believe that schooling is more of a outside in sort of a methodology, right? So schooling is where you sit down. It can be a parent, it can be administrator, a teacher, anybody, and says, kid, this is what you need to learn. I've decided what's important to you. I've decided what you need to absorb, and you're going to do your best to do that absorbing, right? It may be meaningful to the child. It may not be meaningful to the child. And this comes from, you know, curriculum writers. It comes from educational gurus and experts and elitists, and they make these decisions, right, in a school situation. Education, on the other hand, is more of a inside out sort of a methodology where we pursue the things and we allow our children to pursue the things that are of interest to them. And as a result, we learn deeply, we master things, and we come to have, you know, deep understandings, and it changes our life. You know, education, true education, should change your life, even if it's just a little bit. It should make you a different person in some way. So
that's deep. I like that. I like that answer. So I'm curious more about your story first. So you home educated 6 of your children. That's a lot. That's a lot of children. and that's a lot of education for you to kind of go through and school a lot of your students here and your children. So tell me a little bit about how you came to that decision in the first place. Why make the switch from public education to home education?
Okay, Ron, there's a lot in there and we only have 30 minutes, but yeah. I will try to be concise. Okay, so when my oldest was going into eighth grade and I was pregnant with my 6th, my 3 kids that were in school were really struggling. They're very kinesthetic learners. They were not doing well with school. I was spending a lot of time. My daughter, in fact, going into 5th grade still was not really reading. She could sound out words, but she had no comprehension. So obviously she was really not doing well in school. She hated school, without going into a lot of detail with that. But anyway, I was spending a lot of time working with them and through the summers and in the evenings, just hours. And I finally just said, you know, I just can't, if I'm going to spend this kind of time, I might as well eliminate the middleman and just to see what I can do. And my parents, who are career public school teachers, were alarmed. They were unhappy with me. They told me I was going to, you know, ruin my children. It was going to be a gigantic failure, which really only kind of, you know, made me more determined to do it. So when we started, we did go the traditional route. We did homeschool. In other words, we did school at home, which if, you know, you get into this for very long or you know very many people, you find out it's really impossible to do school at home. You get burned out very quickly. Everybody hates it. You don't want to spend that whole day trying to replicate what peer pressure really accomplishes in the school system, right? Where if everybody else is sitting down quietly and doing their worksheets, well, then I'm going to do that, right? Well, you can't replicate that in your house. So I very quickly learned that that was not a method that was going to work for us. I had been to a couple over, you know, the next few years, I went to conventions. I looked at lots of curriculum and I just realized I don't have time to do a ton of prep with 6 children and a brand new baby and a couple little toddlers. That just wasn't going to happen. And I came across a book called The Thomas Jefferson Education, which introduced me to interest-based mentorship model of home education, where it's not that you don't have any structure. You do have structure. You do set goals and you have a lot of time that you spend with your children in education, but you don't, it's not a top-down thing. It's not an outside-in sort of model. And the way that it works in this model is you sit down with your child and you say, what do you want to learn? What is of interest to you? And then you turn them loose and you structure the time, not the content. And then you have accountability at the end. And so other than doing 30 minutes of math a day, we started our day with reading together, something that's uplifting, something that builds character, something that's, good stuff, any good book that you can think of or whatever. And we did a lot of memorizing and then we would write in our journals and then we would set the timer, just do 30 minutes of math, because in our state, we had to do state testing, which it's different. Yeah, I don't know how it is in Canada, but every state has different rules as to how they monitor homeschooling. So we did have to do some testing. So I did have to keep up with some state requirements. But I didn't care about grade levels. I didn't care about tests. I just threw all that out the window and let the children progress according to their interests and according to their own timeline. And most of the rest of the day was spent in their interests that they were researching. And it could be anything from, I had a couple of my boys were very interested in weapons. And so my one son really wanted to learn how to be a blacksmith, but we never got around to that. Instead, he found some electrical conduit out in an old barn and he started pounding it and grinding it down and he made swords. And he and his little brother would spend hours doing that and playing at different war games and things that they invented. You know, some people might think that's really dangerous and awful, but nobody lost a finger or anything like that. It was really lots of fun fact. No injuries ever happened from that. Mm-hmm. And they didn't turn out to be serial killers or anything. that's just one example. I had a daughter. My daughter who couldn't read was very interested in anatomy. So she spent time, I found a coach for her and she spent hours learning anatomy with somebody and she went into that line of work. So
let's pause there. I think let's try to unpack some of this stuff here. You said a lot and I feel like I have a lot of questions I want to get into without getting too far ahead there. So one thing that you mentioned was, you know, it's not your typical sit down, you know, you're not trying to replicate what the public school is sitting. It's just not possible. And you're saying that you're trying to tap into some of the, your kids' interests, right? If they want to do something, you're going to ask and then you're going to learn about it. So how does that work then in terms of, I don't know, maybe I'm getting to more of the high school level here, which I don't know if that's a whole different conversation between high school versus elementary, but you know, in Canada, at least, you know, there's certain credits that you need to get, right? You got to get a history credit, a science credit or whatnot. What if your kid says, yeah, mom, you know, I don't want to learn science. I don't want to be a doctor. I don't want to do this. Are you just going to completely scrap the science curriculum or like, how does that work? Because it seems very, I don't know, maybe I'm missing something.
Yeah, holes in education, right? And that's another big concern that people have. And you wanted to probably also talk about socialization, which is another podcast, Ron. But anyway, we can try to really address that at some point too. But as far as high school goes, so another thing that I learned right up front to, you know, instill in my children was that it's not my job for them to get their education. It's their job. It's their responsibility. It's their life. Okay. This is something that you have to live with the rest of your life, kid. So I am here to help you in any way I can. I will get resources for you. I will do whatever I need to do to help you figure out what has meaning for you and what is giving you purpose in your life. And, you know, if you bring your children up with that idea, I guarantee you that they will find a purpose and that they will find meaning. So we didn't do a lot of science. You bring up science. We didn't do a lot of science. In fact, our science was a trip to OMSI, which is the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry. And they just have, you know, kid stuff. I have a son right now who is in dental school. He never took one science class in college either. But when it came time, because he knows how to learn and he loves to learn and he knows how to learn, he knows how he learns. He was able to get straight A's in science in all his prereqs when he decided to go back and get all his prereqs for dental school.
Now, at what age do you give your child some of that freedom of like figuring out what to learn? Because I think the initial instinct, even for me right now, not knowing anything about this subject, would be, you know, maybe kids at a certain age, like the really young age, they might not have the, I guess, maturity to understand, you know, maybe I need to learn basic things. Like, I don't know, like, let's say your kid says, Mom, I don't want to learn math. I don't want to learn how 1 + 1 = 2. Mm-hmm. You know, are you going to say, oh, I guess we don't need to learn that? Like, how does that work? Like, I'm sure there's some sort of balance where you're like, no, you need to learn this.
So I'll take my youngest, for example. Yeah. He, when he was 5, so he sat on the floor while I was teaching the other kids whatever they wanted to learn. Then his next sibling is 3 years older and the next one above him is 4 years older. So he was very young growing up in this system, in this culture. He's sitting on the floor playing with Legos most of the time. He was a really quiet, you know, self-directed kid, even from a young age. But at 5 years old, I said, hey, honey, do you want to learn how to read? And he said, no. And at 6, I said, well, hey, honey, do you want to learn how to read? And he said, no. And about 6 and a half, I said, you know, there's lots of really good books that, you know, I know you would love to read and I don't have time to read them to you. And so he climbed up on the table. I gave him a couple of phonics lessons. And that night we were reading as a family, as we did every night. And he was sitting on his dad's lap and it came time for my husband to take his turn to read. And he started to read and Zeph whispers in his ear, can I have a turn? And my husband says, oh, sure. So he starts whispering in his ear the words on the page. And Zeph said, I don't need that. And he simply started reading.
Wow.
He read. He'd been absorbing all the lessons that he'd been hearing. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you another, let me tell you another story about how this works. We were at a wedding last summer And the same son, who's now 23, started talking about a book called The Good Earth. And it's a book about 18th century China, rural China. And he was telling us about how interesting it was that women in those days were considered just like, you know, property and like nothing less than an animal. And he was saying, I'd never imagined it was really, really like that, you know. And he started talking to his older brother about it, and they were talking about it. And I said, Zeph, why are you reading that book? Do you have to do that for a class? And he said, no. He said, Jake read it when we were younger, and he used to talk to me about it. And so I've always wanted to read it. So I decided to read it. And understand that none of my kids are like avid readers. Even though I'm an avid reader, none of them really pick that up. And Jacob especially is not an avid reader. And I said, Jacob, you read that book when you were little? And he said, well, yeah, of course I did. You read it, and you told me about it, and you said I should read it. So I read it. And all these years later, that one book is still influencing my children, because there was this culture of just reading something, sharing it with a child, that child picking it up and sharing it with their sibling and just passing it along. So children want to learn. We don't have to shove stuff down their throats. If you don't put barriers in their way, they will, that curiosity that they have as a 2-year-old climbing across the floor, or 1-year-old getting into the pots and pans and making the pot, that never stops. It never stops. They will continue to be curious, and they'll continue to pursue things, and they'll learn how to learn. They'll learn how they learn. I have kinesthetic learners. I have auditory learners, and I have visual learners, and they know how to do it, mm-hmm. and they love to do it. And that's just the culture.
Now, it sounds challenging. It sounds like it's a lot of work. Obviously, you've been doing this for 25 years, so I'm sure there was a lot of trial and error. So my question for you is, to be homeschooled, again, this probably is different from Canada and province to province and state to state, but do you need like any certification or training to be considered in, you know, a home educator, or can you just do it?
Some states you do. Some states require that you are a certified teacher and that you turn in lesson plans and you have a lot of accountability. Mm-hmm. In some states, it's illegal. In California, it's illegal to homeschool. Oh. So homeschooling groups get together, parent, and you know, groups are have formed, and they make themselves a private school. But they're all parent driven. But they do it in groups mostly. There's some very large homeschool groups, quote unquote, right up there. In Oregon, it's very, very homeschool friendly. We only have to test in 3rd, 5th, 8th, and 10th grade.
This is standardized testing, or?
It's standardized testing. So it's measured against national standards. And the bar is pretty low as far as what they have to be, you know, their progress and, you know, the level that they have to, like the 20th percentile or something to remain in homeschool. They just want to see they're making progress. And so you asked me about high school. What happened with my children, again, because I raised them with the idea that their education is their responsibility, they all went up to the community college at about 15. They dabbled a little bit in high school and tried to decide if they wanted to go to high school. And all of them said, well, okay, I've had that experience. I don't need to do that. And they went on up and did actual academic work and got their associate's degrees by the time they were 18. That was their choice. And so high school was a breeze. And I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. By the time my last child, my last three, I barely did anything with them. Mm-hmm. I have. And even the one before that, he was a little more challenging, but for different reasons, he had some learning disabilities and ADHD and whatever. But the younger three, I barely did anything with them. They really were very self-directed, and they are all college educated. All of my children are college educated in various disciplines. My youngest is in accounting, in the top accounting.
Cool. I'm an accounting teacher.
In the country.
I'm an accounting teacher. I don't know if you actually know that, but that's
really cool. No, I didn't know that. Yeah, no.
Wow. I have a lot of questions about high school because I'm a high school teacher, and I'm just trying to imagine how this all works. But just to make sure I cover some of the earlier questions, first off, like, in terms of costing, then like how does it cost you any money in terms of whether it's licenses or I'm assuming like school supplies all come out of your own pocket. Like this must be an expensive thing for you as a family to get done. Like,
Again, if you choose to buy expensive curriculums, yeah, it is. But you know, you can homeschool for absolutely free right now. We're in the age of information.
Right.
You can get an excellent education on YouTube.
Yeah, that's true.
You could do it for completely free.
So I want to go back to the high school stuff.
Okay.
Because I got in my own high school brain, I'm like, how is this working here? So first off, my question is, how does a student then get like a high school diploma? Right? Like, do you have to go to, I don't know, the board or to whatever the higher power and says, hey, by the way, my son completed XYZ. Can you get a diploma mailed to us? Like, or mm-hmm. or do you like print one off your own printer? Like, how does that work?
None of my children got a high school diploma.
Interesting.
And they're all college educated. So what happens is if you go to the community college here, and I think it's just true in any state, and you get an associate's, you don't have to take an ACT and you don't have to have a high school diploma to go on to university.
Oh, so you don't need a high school diploma to go to university?
Or take the ACT.
So, sorry, what's the ACT again?
SAT. It's the college entrance exam.
Okay,
the
SAT.
General college entrance. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You don't have to do any of that if you get an associate's.
Really? Oh, yeah. I did not know that. So you said one of your kids also a dentist, correct?
He's in dental school.
In dental school. So
he got a 99, he got a 24 in his debt and a straight A's in all his sciences.
Wow. And
no high school diploma.
Interesting. Okay. Wow. That, I did not know that was a thing. So
it's crazy, isn't it?
I guess that sort of answers my next question then is the grades don't matter then at home. Well, I don't know. Is there even grading at home?
No.
There's no grading.
No grading.
This sounds
crazy.
There
are no grades. Grades are, you cannot find grades in nature. Mm-hmm. Okay. There's no such thing as grades. Grades are just a construct of a false paradigm. Mm-hmm. Right? They're not a thing. I mean, what grade are you in?
Yeah. It's so funny that we're talking about this because literally my last person that I just interviewed, he is a specialist in assessment in Canada and Ontario. And we literally just had the same conversation. He's like, yeah, in an ideal world, you know, we wouldn't have grades, you know, blah, blah, blah. Because he agrees with you, right? He's like, nah, grades, we shouldn't have grades. But like, obviously, based on the system and construct that we have to have them. But it sounds like it sort of already exists. Maybe
it just puts a tremendous amount of pressure where it needs not to be. I mean, it sort of takes the fun out of education. I mean, wouldn't you agree?
Oh, I agree. Trust me.
If people could just simply, you know, explore the thing that is meaningful to them, then
so
people
here's
would
my
master, they'd feel fulfilled in education.
So here's my question then, like, this sounds almost too good to be true. No grades, homeschool, you don't have to go anywhere. So why do you think maybe homeschooling or home education is not as popular as it is? Do you think it's more like family logistics? Do you think it has just a bad rep?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of stigma, which is kind of falling away a little bit more as we go. Obviously, there's a lot of two-income families. But mostly people have bought the idea that they're not smart enough to educate their children. Mm-hmm. Mostly people say, I need to leave that to the experts. Teachers go to school, you know, for 4 to 5 years to be able to do this. So I can't do it. And, the last thing I want to do, again, my parents were public school teachers. I don't want to insult anybody, but the truth is you can, in the age of information, we can all get an education. We can pursue anything we want to. And we do. Mm-hmm. Right? People do. They come out of high school and people change careers 7 times in a lifetime on average. That means they're going somewhere for more information.
Right.
So
I'm still, I don't know why I can't get my mind over this. So you're saying that like if your kids, let's say, want to go to like Harvard or Yale, they don't need a high school diploma. They just have to write the SATs and they can get in?
They don't even have to do an SAT. In fact, if you were to do some research on Harvard or Yale, they love homeschoolers.
Really?
They love homeschoolers. Because they know that's just more rigorous.
So what are they looking for then, these schools, like if they're not looking
It's all on your essay.
Your essay,
It's all on your essay, yeah.
Man, my high school students, and I teach grade 12s, they're going to lose their minds if they hear this.
Don't tell them.
They're like, are you kidding me?
Don't tell them.
Oh, they're going to lose their minds if they hear that. So I'm curious about your children. Then, like, did they ever at one point say, like, I want to go to high school? Like, I want to go to your typical school and be with friends and be in a classroom? Like, how did they feel about the whole thing?
Sure. Sure. I mean, yeah, they do have most kids. And I would say most kids who are homeschooled go, I'm missing out. They feel like they're missing out. They do. And my kids, like my boys wrestled, all my kids played in band and they did sports at the high school. Cause in Oregon, they're very friendly. Like I said, they let you, homeschoolers, you know, play sports and whatever. And so they all had their feet in their peer group there, and they went to prom and they went to the, you know, basketball games and the football games. And they did a lot of the social stuff. So they didn't miss out on that, but yeah, they all felt like that's why they went to high school. And I encouraged them actually to go to some classes in junior high as well. I felt like it was important for them to get out at that developmental age and find out that they were fine out in the world. And they would be fine. Yeah.
So they did. I think that's so they did go to high school, or at least part of it.
Most of, I'm trying to think, all but the oldest went to some classes in high school.
Okay.
Some of them went full time the first year to see what it was like.
Right.
And some of them just went part time and they got that. And I was like, great. Yeah. If you want to go to high school, fine. You know, this is your thing. This is not my thing.
Right.
And
right.
They made that decision. Yeah.
Right. And did they ever say, like, you know, like, you know what, this is not for me. I'd rather come back to home. Yeah. Or yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They all went, okay, I get what that is. And I think that's kind of a big waste of time as far as what I want to learn. And mm-hmm. Yeah.
So going back to the social aspect of the question here, because I know that's what the caller was asking about, what about social development and stunting their social growth. That seems to be a common fear, and it sort of intuitively mm-hmm. makes sense, right? If you're going to be at home, you're not going to be around other kids. You're not going to be at recess. You're not going to be at lunch. You kind of lose that development there. Can you maybe comment on, you know, is there any truth to this concern? How did your kids get that social fix, especially at the younger age?
So I'll answer. That's a two-part answer. The first part I'd like to answer with having every parent read a book called Hold On to Your Kids by Gordon Neufeld and Gaber Mate. Mm-hmm. They make the case that our kids are so over-socialized right now that they are becoming peer oriented and they're losing that connection with their parents and their family, that especially with social media, that very important connection where they allow their parents to guide them. They rely on the, you know, experience and the wisdom of their parents is being lost, and they're guiding each other. And the problem with that is that there's too many shifting sands in the social scene through junior high and high school, especially, and they keep breaking connections and it's very damaging. So everybody ought to read that book these days. That's a really important point. My children, we always partnered with one or two other families. So they always had other people that it's just that they weren't overwhelmed with the social aspect. My kids are really introverted. They're like their dad, who's also an accountant. And my kids are much more. So a little bit of socialization was great for them, I think that's why they didn't want to go to the high school, because they got overwhelmed with the social aspect and they were happy to just go take classes at the community college and not have too much social going on there. And the kids that we partnered with all those years, they're still best friends with. They had many other friends. They wrestled, like I say, they had band friends. They did all that stuff. They did all that social stuff. They have a wide variety of friends still, but their best friends are the ones that they made in conjunction with our homeschooling. So nobody would ever know that my kids are those weird homeschool kids. They're not like that. They're just as well-adjusted as any, you would just never know, right?
Right. So maybe it's a fear that's not as real as perhaps it actually plays out to be in the end.
It can be, but just remember, you know, when people say that to me, I kind of laugh. They say, well, you know, your kid's going to be a social, you know, misfit. And I say, because there's no social misfits in the public school, right?
I know a bunch of them, let me tell you.
Yeah. So schooling doesn't socialize our children.
Right.
Your socialization comes from home.
That's a good point. That's a very good point.
And it's applied at school in whatever ways that you've, you know, patterns that you've gathered, and which happens, I think, is before the age of three.
Yeah.
So,
finish your point there. You were saying?
No, I was just going to say that's what you just have to keep in mind, that the weird homeschool kids would have been weird in public school too.
Yeah. I mean, that's interesting. That's a very good point, actually.
Yeah.
Now, you did mention prom and graduation. I don't know, some of those like big, typical student milestones. And you said, sounds like a couple of your kids went to prom and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Did all your kids go to prom? Or, because I'm just curious.
They all went to prom. They all got invited to Sadie Hall. Well, the girls asked. Yeah, they did all that stuff.
Okay, so that's good. So, but now let's say, because it sounds like your kids ended up doing high school either part-time or they decide to do full-time afterwards. What if, let's say, I don't know, a parent or family, you know, they don't send their kids to high school full-time or part-time, and they home educate all the way through. Is there a way to still have some of those meaningful milestone experiences like prom or graduation, just, I guess, without going to school?
Is that possible? Depends. Yeah, I'm sure it's possible. It just depends on where you live and what the rules are, right? What the rules are. But, you know, another thing you bring your kids up with when you homeschool, when you home educate, is there are trade-offs.
Right.
There's trade-offs if you go to school.
Right.
You know, all these fun things we're doing, all these hikes we're taking, all these fun, you know, field trips we're doing, all the things we're doing together won't happen.
Right.
Because we won't have time.
Now, do you think you spend too much time with your kids? Like, is it a point where you're like, is like, I want to like kill myself. This is way too much. Like, what have I got myself into? I spent 8 hours with someone else's kids. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
He's like, Oh yeah. I'm overloaded.
You've got six kids too. Like, so holy smokes. Like, so do you ever get to that point where it's like, this is too much? Like, I love my kids. Don't get me wrong, but this is overbearing.
I think that definitely could happen to a person. I could say that could happen to a person. For me, I love to learn. So when my kids were off learning their things, I was learning things and doing things I wanted to do. And so we weren't on top of each other, just being together and me trying to crack the whip and make them do stuff.
Right.
It wasn't like that. It was more, you know, we spent a couple hours, 2-3 hours. We go out in the morning, do our chores together. We'd have a leisurely breakfast. We do our reading and writing and discussing, and then a little bit of math. And then we were all just kind of dispersed. And I was doing things that I really enjoyed and loved, and I was developing my intellect, and I was reading books like the one I told you about. So I was, I was happy. Honestly, when my oldest son went away, it was devastating to me to not have that interaction. 'Cause my kids, we just had so much fun together. Yeah. I don't know how to say it, but I had such a ball with my kids that it was very difficult for that all to end. So this is why I started this, because I want people to have the chance to have the same experience in their families.
Is it common for parents and families to want to home educate, but then just hire someone else to do the work? Is that a thing?
I don't know, but I know that a lot of people have taken their kids out because of COVID.
Right.
And have decided to keep going with it and need help. And that's why we're doing hell.
Right.
Because I think there are a lot of people that need help.
Right.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think about the last 2 years, it almost seems like there was a pseudo type of home education. Like, again, I don't know how things were in the States, but in Canada, at least, like, we were locked down. We were shut down. We were learning from home. And yes, even though I was teaching the kids through Zoom and through online learning, a lot of it was them learning on their own. There's, like, I'm not going to sit in front of a laptop and lecture to them for you know, an hour. Right? A lot of it is, here's the instructions, here's some things, go off. Yeah. It almost sounds very similar to what you're talking about, right?
Right.
I think everyone got a taste of home education for a little bit of time. And I think one of the feedbacks that I got from the kids was they, and I think this kind of goes to the socialization piece, is they're like, it felt very isolating to them. And I don't know if it's because they went from the public system for 11 years and now they're got no interaction.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if that plays a role into it. I don't know. What do you think?
Oh, definitely. I definitely think that. And it goes back to the peer orientation too.
Mm.
Yeah. Not used to being with your family, not used to being really connected and deeply connected with your family and being more deeply connected with your peers. And then suddenly, of course, the COVID was, you know, it was a weird moment in time because that's not really what homeschool's like, right? You're not, nobody in our family was sitting there never having any interaction for months with anybody else except over Zoom. So you don't gauge it on that. But no, my kids got out, they were with friends every day. So
that's great. Chauncey, I'm looking at the time. Oh my goodness. I feel like I could talk about this forever and ever and ever. So why don't we wrap things up? Where can teachers find you either on social media or a website just to find more about your business, hear more about you, or if they have questions about homeschooling and education, how can they get a hold of you?
So we are developing our platform still. It will be out in July. It's owlhomeeducationnetwork.com. You can sign up right now. It's sort of like, it's going to be like an Angie's List or a Fiverr or any other service matching, you know, provider user matching sort of a platform where people could connect. Homeschool groups can connect. Homeschool parents coming into the space can connect with each other in areas. You can find a teacher, you can find a mentor, you can find a coach. We're going to bring everybody together and offer those opportunities for families that are looking for it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Chauncey. This was a really fascinating, interesting, and very informative conversation today. So we really appreciate you coming on to the podcast. Well,
I loved it. Thank you, Ron.
And thank you for all our listeners today for tuning into today's episode. If you enjoyed today's episode, feel free to follow us on Facebook and on Instagram. And of course, don't forget to click that subscribe button on Apple, Spotify, Google, and any other streaming platforms. Thank you guys so much, and we'll see you all next Monday. Woo!